One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Howdy, friends, and thank you so much for joining us here again on another episode of Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, across the table from me, right now, shadow boxing the mic, Mr. Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going? Thank you for the broadcasting enunciation there. You sound like Michael Buffer.
I'm going to try to work that out.
I appreciate that.
I was all excited because, first and foremost, I want to start out with a big congratulations to our teammate and our good friend, Mr. Dylan Ashburn. He won the title this weekend here. It's a Texas title. It's a small amateur organization that brings fighters from all around Texas, and they fought over there in Fort Worth this weekend, and he actually took the title. He is their 135-pound champion now.
Yeah.
I think he is amateur record of 6-1, and I believe he's going to turn pro now, if I'm for sure. We hung out again last night and the night before and all that stuff, the whole deal. I don't do well at the fights. I get a little high-strung. I'd love to go to them, but then when my friends fight, I can't hardly watch it. But the other guy fought great. Dylan ended it in the second round. Superman punched the dude, cracked his orbital socket. He put it on him pretty good, and it was one of those fights where you were like, whoa. But anyway, so I'm pumped to going to get that out of the way, folks. We are going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to talk about some interesting stuff. Kyle's going to lead more into that. But before we get there.
Before we get there, I want to say happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
Happy
birthday to you.
I know it's going to be on this Thanksgiving, and I went ahead and got you a gift. I went ahead and I signed you up for Eric Dubé's Flat Earth Society. It's even here. I got a little certificate here signed by Eric Dubé himself. I know how you're a big proponent of the Flat Earth. Now you are an official member of the Flat Earth Society. So here you go. No?
This is me laying out on him, folks.
You don't appreciate the gift?
I'm good. Thanks, man.
Come on. I appreciate it.
No.
I had to go through a lot of trouble. I mean, he lives like in Thailand. It wasn't easy to get.
What your problem is, they love busting on me for this. Yes, yeah. Look, I will say it's interesting. That's just all I'm going to say. It's interesting.
Nah.
Lots of things
it's
are interesting.
I didn't
lots
get him
anything. Yeah. He's not getting me anything.
But there is a Flat Earth Society.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? That there actually is a Flat Earth Society?
Hey, to each his own, man. To each his own.
Right? You'd be surprised how many people actually fall for that.
What are you talking about?
Right? Flat Earth?
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
I believe parts of the Earth are flat, but only small parts.
Well, you're going to get so much hate.
Like the salt flats.
Every time
Nevada.
He brings this up, we get bombarded with
you know what's
mails.
Funny is okay just real quick I'd like to clarify a few things. If you go to the videos that the guy has on the earth being flat, they have a video, right, and it shows them in there's a water scene and you can see some skyscrapers. You've seen this, right?
Yeah,
out way out there, right? The guy zooms in and then he zooms out and he says, look, see, you don't see them leaning in their own damn video. You don't see the bottoms of those buildings. Can you see the bottom of them? No. You know why? Because the earth is round. Their own video proves my point. Anyways.
I don't know what got him so worked up, folks.
Moving on. Let's get into some news.
Moving on. Yeah,
all hate mail directed to Cam Hale.
No, come on. Just tell me happy birthday. We'll move on. All that's on Kyle. Here we go. Listen. I know Kyle likes to buy some inappropriate things for his wife on eBay, okay? So I found this on Ancient Origins. Instantly, I thought I need to tell Kyle about this because maybe he needs to kind of curtail his shopping and go more towards this. There's been, this is again from our friend April Holloway at Ancient Origins. It actually comes off with priceless ancient papyrus with Gospel of John extract found on eBay for $99.
That's a deal.
Listen, it says a scholar of an early Christianity at the University of Texas announced his discovery earlier this year of a priceless fragment of the New Testament written in ancient Greek, and he found it for sale on eBay, like I say, for $99. Now, this was reported in the New York Times first that a Dr. Jeffrey Smith is the one that found it, and he had actually basically persuaded the fellow to take it down and allow him to study it. This is what it says here. The credit card size papyrus, which Dr. Smith dates from around AD 250 to AD 350, contains about six lines of the Gospel of John on one side and an unidentified Christian text on the other. Says if Dr. Smith's analysis is correct, it is the only known Greek New Testament papyrus from an unused scroll rather than a codex. Says the emerging book technology that early Christians, in sharp contrast to their Jewish and pagan contemporaries, preferred for their texts. Now, how interesting is that, that they found that? Now, Dr. Smith says that it was originally in a private collection of a professor from early Christianity at the University of Chicago. The fellow's name was Harold R. Willoughby, and he died in 1962, and it was placed on eBay by a relative of this doctor who found that in a stash of papers in his attic.
Man.
That's... Imagine that's laying in an attic, something that could possibly be, you know, ground changing, earth, you know, moving around in this theological circles, and it was just laying in a fella's attic.
Right?
How wild is that? I love when people find these things, like we've talked about. You know, there's all these people always come with all this stuff, like, what am I trying to think? The Antiques Roadshow. You know, you ever click over there and watch them, and it's like, oh, we've had this in an attic, or it was up in a barn, we drag it out. Oh, yeah, it ain't been nothing. We've been storing candy in it. Yeah, well, it's worth $400,000, you know, and it came from the Ming Dynasty. You're like, what are you talking about?
I like when it's the opposite, where this guy thinks he's got this really priceless heirloom. The guy goes, nah, it's worth about $8. The guy, you could just see the look of devastation on his face as his dreams just melt.
You're such,
melt away. He's like,
such a terrible person. Terrible person. Anyway, folks, I thought it was interesting. You can just see Kyle's just he's a troll. He just loves it. Son of a gun.
Did you see this? Check this out. Monster Surf exposes rare petroglyphs.
No, I didn't see anything that had to do with Monster Surf.
Now, this is pretty cool. Like in 2014, it says winter swells just off of Oahu, Hawaii, churned up some monster waves more than 7 meters high, sending seawater surging around the foundations of beachfront homes, and they gnawed away at the sandy cliffs along the island's north shore. They've also exposed rare petroglyphs that have not been seen in several years. Now, the unusually strong seasonal surf has washed away layers of sand all along the Pupika Beach, just east of the big surf mecca of Waimea, to reveal dozens of large glyphs carved into the beach of lava rock. Now, more than 70 carvings have been exposed, mostly depicting human-like figures and dogs, according to the Historic Hawaii Foundation, whose workers are documenting the images. Now, it says a public safety officer reported the find to the foundation in late January, but social media has been rife with reports from surfers and beachcombers and rock art enthusiasts who have been sharing pictures of the glyphs since and shortly after the new year when the swell started. Now, by most accounts, the North Shore petroglyphs were last seen in 2010 when similar winter weather exposed some of them. Before that, they had not been seen since 2004. Now, the appearance of the markings seemed to coincide with El Niño,
which is Spanish for the Niño.
Right, the periodic climate anomaly that causes unusual warm waters in the equatorial Pacific. Anyways, basically, there's a bunch of petroglyphs that have been covered up by the ocean, and because of El Niño, now you can see them. And apparently, every couple of years, you can see them. They're exposed for a short time, then they go back under the sea, not to be seen, then reappear. In addition to the carvings of men and dogs, they say there's a cryptid cannibalistic dog-like beast known as the Kope, that is seen in some of these cliffs. And if you look at some of the photos, I mean, it is pretty neat. It looks a lot like the Native American art that you see in the Southwest United States by the Anasazi and things like that. Very cool, but it looks very similar. So it makes me wonder, once again, were the people from the islands of Hawaii, did they travel to Southwest United States?
Yes.
Or vice versa?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Very, very interesting. Well, let's take a break, folks. And when we get back from the break, we're going to get into some unusual stories about the coincidences of odd sightings and bridges. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Well, folks, we were discussing in the intro to this little dumpling. Kyle was talking about some strange stuff we were going to get into today. And look, man, he brought this up to me. It's probably been, it's been over a month, probably been a couple of months that he first brought this up. And it was just in talking. Like I said, we talk often, like every day while we're at work, we're chatting. And then he brought this up and it was just one of his ideas. And he's got a lot of them. And he's like, man, what do you think about this? This is pretty strange. And I'm like, dude, I think you're onto something. This would be a really interesting thing to discuss. So, Kyle, tell them what we were first discussing. This is an interesting deal.
Well, over time, I read dozens and dozens and hundreds of stories of sightings and strange things. And it started to occur to me that there seems to be an awful lot of sightings of strange things, including ghosts or UFOs or even strange sounds. And, of course, cryptid sightings that happen around bridges. And it's almost that. It's almost like bridges themselves are some kind of portal or actually some kind of bridge or doorway through which like a collective multitude of paranormal phenomenon is entering our realm of existence. I mean, of course, when it comes to collapsing bridges, of course, none of them sticks out more than the one on December 15th, 1967, when the collapse of the Silver Bridge that connects the towns of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and Gallipolis, Ohio, that stretches over the Ohio River. You're familiar with that.
Yes.
And everyone who listens to this show is familiar with the Mothman and the things that happened there. You know, it was popularized by John Keel. I love John Keel's work. Back in his 1975 book, The Mothman Prophecies. And, of course, it was later turned into a movie with Richard Gere. And if you haven't seen that, you should definitely check that out. I'm sure most people listening to this have. But anyways, many people saw the Mothman as a harbinger of death, you know, as an early warning of the upcoming bridge collapse. But what's intriguing to me is all the other paranormal things that happen around bridges. So tonight I'm going to share with everybody, as well as Cam is too, some strange and unusual stories that have happened around bridges. Now, of course, there's hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
We just picked a few here. There's no reason we picked these. They were just some that I found intriguing and decided to share them. So let's take a listen to these and we can discuss what we think about them and try to contemplate what it is that seems to be going in, over and around these bridges. This first one is called the Suscon Screamer, And it said that underneath the former Susquehanna Railroad Bridge, also known as the Thick Black Bridge, that once crossed Suscon Road, there lurks the legendary Suscon Screamer. One story states, the area is haunted by a ghost of a woman who was jilted at the altar with a loud scream and hung herself from that bridge. Another story says that she was a teen killed on her prom night who's still trying to hitch a ride home. And yet another story says it's a mother and child who died on a car crash while rushing to the local hospital. Finally, one more claims that it's cursed by the ghost of a girl that escaped from an insane asylum and leaped to her death off of the bridge. Whichever version you prefer, a spectral lady has been spotted floating in the nearby woods. Other people say that it's not a human spirit at all that haunts Suscon. Some believe the eerie sound is the roar of a lion or a panther that escaped from a traveling circus. Or maybe it's a spirit of one of those beings after all these years. Others say it's a half-human, half-pig swamp monster from the local bogs. A Times-Leader newspaper story said that a hunter was in a tree stand just off of Suscon Road when he heard something coming up and over the hill. His companion in the next tree screamed, jumped down from his tree stand, and started running. Then the hunter spotted a creature through his binoculars. He described him to the paper as being about 6 feet long with a long round snout. It weighed about 200 pounds and was gray in color. It had webbed feet with long claws and had a huge head. The hunter refused to take the game commissioner back to the scene because he was too frightened. The man added that the ground was clawed up as if 100 turkeys had gone through. He told the officer that he was sure it wasn't a bear or a coyote. It was a monster. Here's a brief story of that witness's account. I used to live by the now-gone underpass bridge, and though not a believer in spooks or ghosts, I had an experience one time with a scream one spring night along with my family. We were so terrified, we had called the Pittston Township Police because we thought someone was being murdered in the woods behind our home. Only later in the night had the screamer idea been thought of after the police found nothing but a few neighbors who had also heard something. I only heard it once, but I will never forget it. The spooky part of the story, though, is 2 weeks later, at 2:30 in the morning, my parents were jolted from bed with the same scream, and it lasted a short 30 seconds or so. In May of 1976, a family was visiting a nearby lake and saw a family of 4 6-foot-tall, hairy animals resembling Bigfoot wandering around. Whatever they were, it was said that one of the beasts had almost piercing, ear-splitting shrieks, and it sounded like something none of them have ever heard. The first tale about the Suscon Screamer appeared around the end of the 1800s, and in those days, fire towers were located throughout the area, and each were located within sight of one another. A fire was spotted in the Suscon area of Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, and firefighters were sent out to extinguish it. As the firemen worked on the blaze, a terrible scream was heard. This frightened many of the firefighters, and afterwards the firemen discussed as to what it could have been. None of them could explain what would make such a horrible scream. Later in the day, a watchman in the tower heard the scream too. He looked out over the burned out area and noticed something moving, and the screaming seemed to be getting louder. As it came closer, the terrified watchman crouched down in his small room at the top of the tower. Now the creature was directly under him. As he looked down, he could see the creature looking back up at him, screaming and clawing at the ground. Worried that it might climb the tower, he locked the entrance to the tower door, which was nothing more than a hatch in the floor, and waited. Once again, he peeked over the edge. The creature was walking away from him. The large creature was sometimes standing, and sometimes walking on all fours. When it did stand, it was described as being between 6 and 8 feet tall, and it was covered with hair, and it had a pig-like snout. So that's a pretty odd story, right?
It's a super... I love it. Okay, look. Instantly, you always think of, like we've talked about, and we've had people send us the emails of the video of the game cam video of that mountain lion screaming. So you're like, okay, if that's all it was, you know, you're like, maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't anything other than that. But you're talking about people that are used to what they find in the woods. They're used to these sounds. Then they see it. Then they see this thing screaming at them. And you just, I don't know, just something about the idea of a powerful scream. It's one thing, you know, to... look, for all of those parents or aunts and uncles and grandparents, whatever, there's always that one person in the family or in the group that can yell louder than everybody else. You're like, I can't yell that loud.
I can't either.
And I got a sister-in-law that's loud as hell. Just somehow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think about that like on a huge level. Imagine how, you know, I don't know, just with that going on and the fact that like the guy's talking about he's locked the little hatch so it doesn't... You know, that little hatch ain't going to help you, bro.
It's terrifying, right? You're stuck up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fire. I mean, I doubt he's armed. Yeah. Why would he need to be? He's just looking for fires.
That's it. I don't know. I just, stuff like that I really enjoy because it's, I don't know, it would be the unnerving. It's this, why is it the sounds? It's one thing to see something, but it's like if you see it and then you hear it and it, then you make eye contact, you're looking, yeah, no thanks. Would you just throw yourself out of the top of that thing?
Well, and even the stories around the Susquehanna Railroad Bridge, I mean, that's not like, it sounds like there's multiple stories. No one's really sure what it is. Could it be a woman that committed suicide? Could it be a jilted lover that hung herself?
Could it be a Sasquatch?
Could it be Sasquatch?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's been sightings of the woman's spirit walking through the woods. I don't know. And that's the way a lot of these stories are, is it's not one thing sometimes. It's multiple things, but there's still something eerie, and it always involves a bridge.
It's strange.
Very strange. Well, let's move on.
I got you one. Now, check this one out. This comes from Reynoldsburg, Ohio, 1996. It says, my girlfriend at the time, my cousin, and I all decided to get some beer and hang out at the cemetery. Now, I want to go ahead and clear this up, folks. When I read that, I don't think he meant his girlfriend was his cousin. I think that's talking three separate people, okay? My girlfriend at the time, my cousin, and I. I don't think he meant my girlfriend's my cousin, okay?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think
either.
He meant that. And hang out at
why
the
would
cemetery.
You even think that?
Because while I was reading it, I was like, this may not be coming out so well.
See where his mind goes, folks?
Sorry, folks. I just want to clear that up. I don't want to give the guy a bad
no
name.
No one thought it'd be you.
Yeah, I don't want to give the guy a bad name.
Okay.
Is it because I'm in the South? I instantly want to make sure I clear that up.
But this took place in Ohio.
So. Yeah, right. Maybe. There's rednecks up there, too. Says my girlfriend's parents owned and still own Glenrest Cemetery in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Now, we were hanging out on the bridge at the pond in the middle of the cemetery. The bridge is made out of stone. My girlfriend was laying on the stone ledge. The ledge is big enough to lay on comfortably without falling. We were all looking up at the night sky talking when she saw an orb fly across the sky. The orb was mostly red and orange in color, but had yellow, blue, and green colors as well. It was silent as it was falling and seemed to land just over the trees about 500 yards away. My cousin and I became very excited and jumped up and started walking in the direction we thought it might have landed. I told my cousin to wait. I turned around to get my girlfriend to come with us. I grabbed her by the hand and helped her up. I turned towards my cousin to lead her in his direction when she started saying, "Oh my God, oh my God." I turned to look at her, and it was like her whole body gave out and she fell to the ground and pointed in the opposite direction of where we thought the orb landed. I looked where she was pointing and saw a man walk out of the darkness. He looked like a human, but I couldn't see any details of his face. He was dressed in black dress pants and a long sleeve white shirt. Then two men dressed the same stepped out of the darkness behind him. They were coming out of the darkness in like a V, like geese would fly. Then two more men behind them. My girlfriend was crying, saying, "Run, run!" I said, "Oh my God." And I yelled my cousin's name, and he came running towards me and my girlfriend. I think he started walking toward where we thought the orb had landed until I yelled his name. I pointed at the entities, and it was like we were all froze. Then my girlfriend started to run towards her house, located at the front of the cemetery. I turned and I ran with her. My cousin seemed to have stood there, and I remember thinking, what is he doing? What is going to happen to him? About a third of the way running to her house, her foot sunk in the mud and she fell. I turned and picked her up and kept running with her in my arms. I remember thinking, how am I running, holding her for so long? But at the same time, I don't remember running at all. Then we were in her driveway. My cousin was there. We all jumped into his truck and drove off. The next thing I remember, it was daylight. So what, Philly, what on earth was that? I say on earth. What on earth was that? Look, is it Men in Black? What come out of the woods? And why does it sound like they had missing time?
Yeah, they couldn't explain what happened.
And they like, well, we traveled real quick. You know, we were running here, and next thing we know, we're in the driveway, and the cousin was there.
Because I believe they were taken.
Well, it makes you wonder. Nobody checked times. That's what you don't find out. You don't really know exactly what time. Yeah. I'm like, maybe they gobbled you up right there and took you and did some stuff and brought you back.
Very strange. I mean,
and orb. They saw an orb, and then all these dudes. And it sounds like there was multiples coming out of there.
The men in dress pants and long sleeves with white shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. A boy band running around? No. I don't know what that is.
I think it's Men in Black. They saw them witness the orbs, and then they're trying to...
Are they part of the...
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you right now. Look, he's talking about it being late in the evenings, right? You're talking about it's at night. You're out there hanging out. You're already in a cemetery, having a few beers. You imagine how scared you would really be. Oh, you're just kicking it, and then all of a sudden, a guy, and especially your girlfriend, starts screaming, and then she's like, you know, pointing, and then the dude comes walking, and then another couple, and then another few, and then they just, here they come. You're like, no, sir. No, sir.
Yeah.
I'd be terrified.
Very scary. Let's move on. The night of September 14th, 2009, is a night I will never forget. My encounter happened at around 10:15 p.m. as I was driving to work. I was driving my usual route, northbound, on Hudson Drive. Just as I passed under the Route 8 overpass bridge, just north of the Hudson Drive Applebee's restaurant, I spotted something completely otherworldly. It was between 9 and 10 feet tall, solid black, and the figure was standing on the southbound side of the road. It had no discernible head or any facial features at all. It was just dark, dark black. As I noticed it, it seemed to notice me noticing it. At that moment, I felt as if I was totally alone. There were no other bystanders, no other cars. It was as if me and this being were the only two entities at all. I took my gaze off of the dark void for only a second to look back at the road, and then I glanced back at my rearview mirror. It was gone. I did not see it depart or disappear. It was there, and then it wasn't. I began to feel extremely upset and scared as my mind tried to make sense of what I had just witnessed. My first thought was to turn around and go back home, calling off work. I stopped, and I tried to call my wife at home, but my cell phone would not work. I tried it from both my programmed address book and by manually inputting the numbers. Neither one would work. My phone just kept saying, "Call failed," which has never happened to me before. My cell phone continued to be affected all the way to the I-271 entrance ramp, which is approximately 8 to 10 miles up the road. Anyway, I finally made it to work, and I still regret not turning around and going home due to my state of mind. My experience was very traumatic for me, in every sense of the word. Ever since that night, I'm always looking over my shoulder, sometimes even sitting up in bed in the middle of the night to check out my bedroom. but I have never seen anything like it again. So it sounds like he saw a shadow person, right?
That's exactly what it sounds like he saw.
And you know, this is not the only time where people have seen this shadowy figure. And then they start to feel ill. They start to feel nauseous. They start to feel intense fear. You know,
I think it steals something from you. I really do. It's crazy that sound. I think it's stealing something from you.
And I think it's eerie. And this is another case of another person saying this, where it's like it notices you noticing it.
Yes.
You know, so many times in the stories of the fairy or the fae folk and stuff, it's a similar thing. It's like they were just two old men bebopping around working. Little men, I'm talking about, like fae. And then you're seeing them, and then they kind of look up, and oh crap, you see me.
Yeah.
And then they kind of scurry off into the bushes or whatever. But the shadow people, when they kind of notice you, if there's your demons or djinn, they just kind of stare back intently.
And like I said, it almost feels like they're feeding off of you in a way.
Right?
Now, because he says, the way they feel when they're done.
You know, and he says he's been traumatized by this in every sense of the word, even to this day, that he's constantly finding himself looking over his shoulder.
I don't blame him.
Up in bed. Truly. I think the dark or the shadow people are very, very scary.
Yeah. Well, and like you're talking about, it's not just what he saw, it's the feeling. It's one thing to see something, but when it physically affects you like that, like there's a physical effect of him not feeling well, it's almost like your body remembers that even more. So, yeah, I'm with you. I know we do a lot of shows on the shadow people. I don't like it, man. I do not like the whole idea of the shadow.
No, like I said, I'll say it again. I mean, Sasquatching to me is not too scary because, yes, it's scary while you're out in the woods, but if you don't want to go and experience that, just don't go into the woods.
Yeah.
Shadow people can show up anywhere.
They just pop in.
Extraterrestrials can show
Surprise.
Up anywhere, right?
Yeah, I don't like that, man. I don't like that. I tell you what, I'm going to do you one right here. This is a little bit of Mississippi history. Let me talk to you about this. Now, Stuckey's Bridge is what I'm going to discuss. Stuckey's Bridge is an 157-year-old structure that crosses the Chunky River outside of Meridian, Mississippi on, here you go, Stuckey's Bridge Road. Now, this whole legend, the story, basically begins with the infamous Dalton Gang, and it's said of their passage through Meridian, Mississippi. Now, it's said in this tale that the gang left behind a member by the name of Stuckey. Now, according to legend, Stuckey murdered and robbed countless victims in the southwestern corner of the county during the first half of the 19th century. Now, Stuckey allegedly slayed travelers and stole their money and would throw their bodies into the Chunky River, which is going to be at the future site of the bridge. Now, after the bridge was erected in 1850, Stuckey was caught, tried, and hung from the railings of the bridge. Now, this same legend holds that Stuckey haunts the bridge to this day. They say he's bitter and menacing and very angry at having been subjected to the same fate as his victims. Now, according to many reports, people in the area have seen the apparition of an old man carrying a lantern along the banks of the Chunky River. Now, others claim to hear a loud splash from beneath the bridge. When they look to see what's causing the splashing sound, there's nothing there. And of course, the splashes are echoes from Stuckey's body hitting the water after being cut from the noose. Now, that's what some of them say. Now, it's said that if someone is looking in the right spot at the time of the splash, that they'll be able to see a glowing spot where his body splashed down into the cold waters of the river. Now, the most popular story about Stuckey's ghost is that on certain nights, his corpse can be seen still hanging from the bridge. And they say that those that have seen it better run, because one goes that a Clarkdale student claimed that one evening while walking across the bridge with some friends that he was attacked. He says that the ghost, it felt like the ghost had tried to pull or push him off of the bridge. He claimed that he had visible scratches on his sides and his back after that encounter. Now, Kyle, I ask you that. Is there a physical way? Do you think that's what, is it holding there like a haunted house in that bridge? What is it? What are they seeing there? I mean, look, you hear the splashes. Yeah, there's always stuff splashing. Is it fish jumping?
Could be a beaver.
Covers a lot of things. It could be this, right, it could be that. Or it could be the fact that that is a haunted area.
Yeah, I mean, we brought it up on the show before about the haunting of the automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've heard of phantom trains and things. This is just another case. That's what I'm talking about. Again, with a bridge, it's like the area, the bridge itself has taken on this haunting.
Yes.
Because a lot of Stuckey's mm-hmm. killings happened before the bridge was even built.
Yeah. It was just a dark area.
In that area. And then they hung him from that very bridge. And it's like, it's some kind of flashback of what was going on there.
What is it with flowing water? What is it with this whole thing of, like, you know, they always talk about the guys that do the, well, they search for water. What am I trying to think? I've always forget it. But, you know, like the witching that you'd carry. You know,
oh, yeah. The dowsers.
The dowsers. And they, what is it about flowing water? Because it always seems like we're talking about these bridges and water. It ties in with stuff that David's worked on from his missing 411 bugs. Are we looking at the wrong thing? Is there more to it than just that? Is water like a magical spot too? Because there are a lot of strange things that happen around water. Or is it just because water is basically the substance that we need to survive? Is that what it, I don't know. It's so strange.
It is strange. Let's move on. This next story is about White Lick Bridge in Danville, Indiana. The ghost of an Irish worker who was killed many years ago is said to haunt the remains of this old railroad trestle located in central Indiana. Now, the man was one of many Irish workers who were hired cheap to build the bridge across White Lick Creek back in the 1850s. One day, while working on the bridge, the workers were building pylons that would support the bridge, and doing this by framing up the sides of a base and then pouring concrete inside. Well, one afternoon, a wooden platform collapsed and dumped one of the workers into the wet cement. He slowly sank into the pylon, and the other workers could hear his fists hammering against the wooden sides as he slowly drowned. There was nothing they could do to save him. One minute he was there, the next he had vanished. Construction was delayed for several hours while the company tried to decide what to do. Finally, they declined to tear the pylon apart to find the body of a man who was obviously already dead. And so, work continued, despite the protest of some more of the superstitious workers. For some years after that, local residents reported that the sounds of a man's final screams as he pitched into the concrete could still be heard at night. Many claim that if you go there today, you can sometimes hear the man screaming. It is also said that numerous locals and railroad workers claim that they have heard the sounds of hammering from inside the concrete pylon. At some point, the bridge was being updated, and the original pylons were taken down and replaced by new ones. After that, people began reporting seeing an image of a man trying to flag down any oncoming trains attempting to cross the bridge. So how creepy is that? The guy fell into the... I've heard of this before on construction
yes.
sites. Like back in the day, if you fell, they didn't stop work.
Well, they talk about it on the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, that was heard, one you're of the, right. Uh-huh.
But I've also heard that nobody could ever find any proof of that, that it's all just hearsay. It's all old wives' tales.
Really?
But this is the way I always think of it. Is that something you would really want to report? So even exactly. back then.
There was no OSHA happened, or anything like that was running these job
wouldn't
sites.
Wouldn't it be easier just to go, look, they're going to have to just, we're just going to pay the family and that's it. We don't want anything said about it. We don't want anything like that. Or just be like, look, dude, the guy never showed up to work today. I guess he got tired of his wife and kids and just left y'all. You know, we're talking, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Back then, you know, who knows? That's the way I feel about this. It's like, you know, I would like to believe that nobody got hurt working on that. But look, how many people get hurt every day at work? Simple things.
How many thousands of people died building the Great Wall of China?
It always makes you wonder, that's something that could have happened. If it happened there, why couldn't it have happened here on a small job? And they were just like, nah, man, that dude was like, nobody said anything.
Well, the foreman's like, you're not tearing down the whole all the forms.
Yeah.
We'd have to start all over.
Yeah,
he's already dead.
That. He's dead.
By the time they tear the forms down, he'll already be dead.
Yeah, we can't get to him. He's gone. I'm just going to keep moving forward.
I mean, I'm not saying that they should have left the guy in the pylon, but I'm just saying I could see how somebody would do that.
And even now. I mean,
in
people push people and push people to work harder and harder and harder. So, yeah, I mean, I could see that that could happen. It was another one of those things. Something about these bridges. Of course, I'm sure it's dangerous building them. You know, I mean, I always think about, what is it, the movie, The Ghost in the Darkness, because he's there to build a bridge.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, The Lions of Savo.
And I've heard of the stories that there's more than you would like to know of people that owed the mob, like gambling debts and things that are just poured into concrete frames.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Foundations and things of buildings there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Within the five boroughs or other places.
I'm sure.
Because it would be a great place to hide them, right?
Yes.
A lot of them own construction companies.
Buildings, they're never going to tear down a big building just to look for a body.
How would you even know it was there?
Exactly. I guess you could have to go around with, like, the ground penetrating, look for voids. Large voids in the concrete would be the only way you could find it.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But look, all of these stuff, they're still, I don't know, man, it just feels like there's a possibility. You know what I mean? It's like, there could be something here to this.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Well, I'm going to throw you another one right here. This is pretty interesting. You're going to enjoy this. It all starts on a winter night in Juneau, Alaska, a few years back while I was a senior in high school. A few friends of mine were over at my house, a neighborhood on the side of a mountain surrounded by a forest. We were bored with our video games and TV, so we all decided to walk a trail in the woods. Now, this is about 3 a.m., and we weren't worried about running into bears because it was their hibernation time. So we geared up for zero-degree weather and leave for a trail up the mountain that I had played at as a kid, running through the woods and building forts. So, of course, growing up in it, knowing it like my own home, I wasn't too worried. Now, we had crossed the bridge onto the trail and walked about a half a mile from it when my friend stops and says he heard something up ahead. I say that it's most likely a deer or something, having seen much of Alaska's wildlife in these woods. So we keep walking, and by this point, he's a little nervous, glancing around a lot. My third friend started to say it was probably the Kushtaka, a local legend of a creature that shapeshifts into something that lures you to your death. He freaks out even more, and I tell him, I've spent half my life in these woods, and I haven't seen one thing that was remotely strange. About 5 minutes later, we heard snow crunch under a huge pine tree about 10 yards in front of us. Well, we stopped dead in our tracks, looking up the path towards the tree. I shone the flashlight in that direction, and we catch a flash of something move behind the tree, almost like a bike reflector or something. We start walking slowly away from the tree, back down the trail, not looking away from the tree. Then we see a hand from behind the tree touch the ground, and I stopped dead, frozen with fear, not looking away with my flashlight directly on it. It took a few seconds for my friends to realize what I was looking at. Then they saw it too. My friend, who had been scared this whole time, goes nuts and starts putting together words that made no sense. Whatever was behind the trees leaned out to look at us, its eyes reflected like a dog's from the beam of my flashlight. Instantly, we all start to run, not daring to stop. No movement was heard until we reached the bridge. That's when one of my friends fell in onto the ice. That's when I heard it bounding up the path towards us. I shone my light, and there it is, running towards us on all fours, half screaming, half howling. It looks almost like a human, but seemed to be a lot taller and skinnier. Very pale in the moonlight and against the snow. It was completely naked. So I run and I jump off the side of the low bridge onto the frozen creek and I yell for them to follow me. We run down the side of the creek towards my neighborhood. I have never ran so fast and so far, but I kept on for fear of what I saw. During the entire run, I could hear whatever it was running through the woods directly to the right of us, all the way until we got to the streetlight by a children's park. Now, to this day, my friend and I still bring up crazy theories of what we had seen. My other friend, the one who had been so terrified, well, he's never brought it up again.
Ooh, man, that's scary, right?
That story alone scares the hell out of me.
It's super. I mean, when he says it's naked, I mean, that doesn't really clarify if it had hair or not.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that means it was covered in hair.
I'm just assuming it just meant no clothes.
It didn't have clothes on.
That's what I'm assuming.
You know what I mean? Not like a rake or something.
Dude, this terrifies me.
It is creepy.
Look, it's not like I don't know what ghosts, stuff like, hey, you see when you'd be like, what the hell? When something gets after you, screaming, howling, on all fours, what is it about a humanoid-shaped thing on all fours? Like the creepy old man from the Metallica video.
Yeah, yeah.
We always talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, what? I don't want to see that crawling across the floor at me. I don't like that kind of stuff, man. What is it about? Because you know right now the way it sounds, if you fall, it's got you.
That's what it sounds like, right?
That's it. You trip a friend? You know what I mean?
Depends on how good of a friend, boom. I guess.
Yeah, you're like, sorry, partner. There's a video of like a buffalo running from a bunch of wolves, and the wolves are getting at one, and that one big buffalo runs by and just hooks him and flips him on his side, let the wolves have him so the rest can get away. Is that what you do? You trip your friend? You're like, nope. This is terrifying.
Well, when they're talking about running and they're looking and it's running along the side of them directly to the right, have you seen the movie Exists?
Yes.
Remember when he's on the bicycle and it's running alongside? That's what I'm visualizing.
Sprinting along beside. Yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie, it's pretty good.
Man, I don't know. This story just really, it's just an unnerving story.
Well, the reason I included it in today's show is the Kushtaka. I've never really heard of the Kushtaka.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a listener recently that called us
and
left us a very interesting story about the Kushtaka. And we're going to play it for you right now. Check this out.
Hey, guys. I just recently started listening to your show. Actually found it through Mysterious Universe. Love your guys' show. Been listening to you now for about 2 weeks. Just wanted to call and tell you a quick story. I'm from Petersburg, Alaska. That's where I was born and raised. I've spent the majority of my life with my father hunting. 1 year back in 97. This is the only story that I have of, I don't even know what you'd call it, just a very strange story. But in the fall of 97, I went out to moose camp with my father and his buddy in Thomas Bay, Alaska. My dad and his buddy had stayed up late the night before drinking. Me being 17, I didn't drink, but it was my second time in this moose camp, and I wanted to be the first one to get a moose that year. I woke up in the morning, I knew they weren't getting up. I left camp with my day bag, my rifle, which was a 30-06, and my sidearm, which was a 357, and I took the quad and I went up to my tree stand, which from the camp is somewhere between 2.5, 3.5 miles away. I got there way before the sun came up. Had my headphones on, listening to some Creedence Clearwater, and I got up in my tree stand, made myself comfortable, and that's when I pulled out a joint, was just kind of enjoying my morning, waiting for the sun to come up. At some point, I heard, I heard a noise over my headphones. So I'd taken my headphones off and looked around. I had blown my moose call a few times to see if anything was in the area. I ended up putting my headphones back on and relaxing for a while, and I heard the noise again, and I couldn't really tell what the sound was. So I had removed my headphones, I had my rifle, I looked around, I didn't hear too much of anything, and then that was when I kind of realized that I wasn't hearing any of the morning birds, I wasn't hearing mosquitoes, there was really no sound besides the wind. I've been in the woods my entire life, I've never been scared. Besides, I got treed by a grizzly bear one time, and that was pretty terrifying. But this noise came off somewhere off to the east of me in the woods, and it didn't sound like anything I'd ever heard before. I mean, I've ran trap lines for years. I've heard injured wolves. I've heard injured bears, many different creatures up there. We don't have mountain lions, and it sounded, I wouldn't say like a mountain lion, but it sounded very, like a very high-pitched growl. And I remember setting my headphones and my discman down and setting my rifle down and pulling my pistol and just listening. And it moved through the forest quicker than I would have normally thought anything could, which is why in the beginning I thought maybe I had a pack of wolves around me. And I remember as it moved through the forest, the noises it made, it didn't really... You could see the brush being disturbed, but you couldn't hear branches breaking or anything like that. And then it stopped. I remember standing there for a few minutes, watching everything, and then from below me, I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it. the most crazy sound I have ever heard directly below my tree stand. Like I said, like almost like a high pitched growl. Like it, not like an animal. I don't even know how to explain it. It made your hair stand on end and gave you goosebumps. As soon as I saw the brush off to my left move around, like whatever it was underneath me, went into the bushes, I figured this is it. I'm going to scare it away. So I aimed the .357 at the muskeg, and I pulled the trigger. I did hear the high pitch, you know, that you get from shooting a firearm so close. The muskeg erupted, and I didn't hear anything for, I don't know, 45 seconds, a minute. And then this thing, whatever it was moving through the bushes intentionally directly towards me, but around the tree line. And all of a sudden, I heard what sounded like a very high-pitched baby's cry. It made it almost like nails on a chalkboard, like the shiver you get on your bones when you hear something like that. All thought pretty much left my head. I left my rifle, my Discman. I bailed out of the tree. I had a four-wheeler right there. I didn't even think about it. I left the four-wheeler, I left my rifle, and I ran. My day pack was still there. I made it to camp, I don't know, 20 minutes later, and I remember the entire time looking over my shoulder, just terrified of whatever the hell it was that was behind me. Now, I don't think it followed me. I didn't really hear anything else on my way back to camp. I just knew that I had to keep on going. I did not want to stop. Every time I looked over my shoulder, I always thought it was there, but I'm pretty sure that nothing followed me out. When I got to camp, you know, I explained it to my dad and his buddy. My dad went back up there. He got the four-wheeler. He got my rifle. And him and Galen talked about it a little bit. When I did get to talking to them about it, my dad had mentioned, you know, I think you encountered one of the Kushtakaw. And I had heard stories about the Kushtakaw growing up. We lived in the middle of nowhere. I moved from logging camp to logging camp to logging camp for the majority of my life. And spent the majority of my life running trap lines, hunting. I spent a lot of time in the forest. And my dad had went back up there. He said my tree stand was jacked up, that there were marks in the tree, there were marks in the muskeg, and muskeg is very squishy. It's almost like bog-like. It's old glacier sediment that moss and stuff grows on top of. All the trees that grow in it are all stunted and dead-looking. But there's all kinds of berries, like low-ground blackberries, salmon berries, low-ground raspberries, a lot of things that the deer and the moose come in to eat. And my dad, I remember, and the reason I remember it so well is because I'd never seen my dad scared. My dad was actually scared. Him and Galen both, we packed up camp, and we left that day. I mean, within 3 hours of it, we left and went back to town. We didn't talk about it for a while. Galen ended up going back out to moose camp that year for the last week. He ended up getting a moose. I did not. We went out the following year, and I was very hesitant to go back out there. I had never experienced anything like it before. I have no explanation for it. Well, that year when I went out, Galen brought me a book. It's actually called The Strangest Story Ever Told. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's about the 1800s, early 1900s, when the gold rush was going on over there. If you ever get a chance, look it up. I think there's actually a copy on Amazon. Like I said, it's called The Strangest Story Ever Told. It's about a gold mining operation up around Crescent Lake, which we were really close to this place called Crescent Lake, within 60 miles of it. And all the loggers and miners that were there all disappeared, except for two who made it out, and they're the ones that wrote the story. It's based on a true story, or it is a true story, however you want to look at it. But I've looked online and, you know, looked up Kushtakaw and stuff like that. Everything I find is kind of like a swamp ape or Bigfoot. The natives that we had spoken to, it's from what they say, it's nothing like a Bigfoot. It's like half otter, half man, something along those lines. I just figured it was a good story and something you guys might want to look into. I've never heard anything about it on your guys' shows, but I had heard one show that you had done where you had said Bigfoots and something about Bigfoots and like a crying baby in the woods. So, like I said, it is what it is, and thank you guys for the awesome show, and hopefully I'll talk to you guys sometime. Have a great day.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Very interesting stories. Thank you so much for sending us that story. We really appreciate it. And that's what you can do, folks. If anybody else has any strange encounters that they would like to share with the show, or if you'd just like to call in and tell everybody why you like Expanded Perspectives, and then we could play that so that other listeners that are tuning in for the first time might be able to hear you telling them why so they could listen. You can call the show 817-945-3828 and you can leave us a message. But anyways, we really appreciate it when people reach out to us like that. You can also email us if you don't feel comfortable telling us the story or calling in. You can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. And we do see each and every one of those stories. And speaking of interesting stories, did you see this? This came in from Twitter on Fox 5 News about an astronaut who tweeted a UFO photo. Cam, are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am. Scott Kelly. Scott Kelly is the man that actually, I believe he recently broke the record for the longest or the most days spent in space. He's on the International Space Station. And he tweeted this picture out. And what's funny is he tweets, he was posting pictures often, apparently. This is one of the things that he does on his Twitter page. It's a beautiful photo. But people instantly, apparently it was over in southern Indiana, if you actually talk. It says day 233, once upon a star over southern Indiana.
No, India.
India, yes. But it says, you know, from the space station, all right? And it's a beautiful picture. But if you look in the top right corner, something looks a little fishy. It almost looks like a triangular-shaped UFO, these lights the way they are. I don't, you know, I don't believe he actually, you know, in that tweet says anything about it. None of that stuff. Now, here's what's going on here. This is what happened. Of course, like everything, you jump on the internet and things go crazy.
Yeah, it exploded, right?
Yeah. Well, a UFO Sightings Daily website, there's a fellow named Scott Waring. Now, he actually said that this is what his quote says. Scott Kelly likes to send out photos of the view from the windows of the space station, and they look cool. This one, however, has a cigar-shaped glowing UFO with a metallic body in it. And he actually writes in here, it says, warning notes that the mysterious object is about 82 feet long and between 492 and 980 feet away. He says it looks like Scott was trying to hint at the existence of aliens. He says, message received, Scott, and thanks, is what he put on there. So I go in there and I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, holy crap, what is that? Because it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks like a UFO. That's exactly what it looks like. I mean, it's pretty clear. This is an HD.
Here's what's funny, though. If you go back to one that was actually tweeted out this past Thursday, he tweeted a picture out, okay? And he's in this tweet, it says, looks like sunrise came with some enthusiasm. It's almost like you can still see that same shape in the upper right-hand corner of that picture. So you start looking through there, and I'm like, wait a minute. So I go to searching and kicking around on there. Then something came out on Forbes, and it said that it says, no, the ISS astronaut Scott Kelly did not take a picture of a UFO. That's what he says. What they go into is this, and if this helps anything, I'll try to explain it the best I can. There's a part that is actually hanging down. It says, now usually it's a large enough portion on the ISS that this is visible in these photos and that there's no ambiguity of what you're looking at. But in Scott Kelly's photo, they say it's a little more subtle because what's being photographed completely out of view, there's a little bit that's in view. And they say it's not emitting nor reflecting light at the moment where they show you this picture. But basically, what the, I guess what it is there was a certain bit of light. It looks like, they say, a little gray cylinder, like an unlabeled tuna can, and it's an HDEV, a high-definition Earth viewing system, installed aboard the ESA's Columbus module. So the tuna can is also highly reflective. And so if there's either sunlight falling on the ISS or external lights from the ISS itself, it turns on. And you're going to see a couple of bright spots shining off of this module. When you look at this module and the way they show this one NASA photo, when you lighten it all up, basically it'd be like you're taking a photograph and there's an overhang over the window, but it's so dark you don't see anything, but there might be a little bit of a reflection on one part of this overhang. At least that's what NASA is saying. Now, I will say this. If you want to believe NASA, they did a great job of showing you this picture. But for all I know, this picture was created online as a scramble to make it take this look, and then they've lightened this photo up and photoshopped that all in there to explain. I don't know.
Well, Scott Kelly didn't release the photograph saying this is a UFO.
No,
he was just
taking
a picture of the night, what the Earth looks like at night over the country of India.
Yes.
And people, when they saw the photo, said, hey, look, there's a UFO in the top right.
Yeah.
So to me, and when you see the photos of the same thing in the daytime, or in the sunlight, I'm sorry, that's what it is. It's a piece of the International Space Station.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's
a piece
the HDEV.
Of equipment. But to a person that doesn't know what the equipment looks like, and you know the photograph taken out of context, that's what it is. I mean, and this is the thing when it comes to this field of looking at photographs, whether it's blurry photos of Sasquatch or whatever. If you don't know exactly what it is in the photograph, it can look like something else.
Or,
but I will say it does look like a UFO.
Or is it, though?
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, I look at that and I'm like, I can understand what they're telling me. I understand.
I'll put links to it in the show notes.
What they've shopped on there. I get that. I understand what he's showing. But then again, I'm like, but man, is it?
You should go over there and take a look. And that's another thing. I'm going to bring this up because people ask about the show notes. Some of the newer phones, the show notes will be right there on the phone. For some of you, it won't be. If you just go to the website, expandedperspectives.com, you can find the episode. The show notes are always there and links to them. You should go over there and take a look at this photograph. It's pretty neat.
It really is.
Or if you have Twitter, I'm sure it's all over
the
place.
It has me, man, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how I feel about this because I could understand. I want to say the rational side of me wants to go, that's all it is. It just kind of caught a little glimpse because it's in another one of his pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that because also the crazy conspiracy mind in me goes,
you're never going to know.
Well, it makes me go, okay, did he legitimately take a photograph of a UFO? And then NASA went back and went to changing up a bunch of his Twitter photos to make it look like that.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Anyways.
I don't know. It's just entertaining and nothing else. But it is very, you need to take a look at it, folks. If you get a chance, you can, like you said, go check out the show notes or just get on Scott Kelly's Twitter. It's
Google
awesome.
Scott Kelly.
Yeah,
that's probably
Scott Kelly UFO. This photo will pop up.
Absolutely. We want to thank everybody for listening to today's show. If you want to help out the show, you can rate and write us a review on iTunes. That really helps out. If you really like Expanded Perspectives, don't forget we have Expanded Perspectives Elite. That's every Thursday. You can go to expandedperspectives.com. Click on the Elite tab in the top right. Sign up, and there you will get an extra episode every Thursday. Also, access to the entire back catalog for now. And Christmas is approaching, so maybe it would be a nice gift to buy somebody an Elite subscription.
There
right,
you
Cam?
Go.
What do you
there
think?
There you go.
I know a lot of people in the United States are going to be traveling for Thanksgiving. I want everybody to be safe in your travels. Make sure you get plenty of rest. Make sure the kids got their seatbelts on and everything like that. Be careful. We will be releasing an episode on Thursday on Thanksgiving. So don't fret. There will be an episode there. If you're traveling and you have nothing to listen to, hey, get up, download it that morning.
That's right.
Let's do it. Cam,
we'll be there.
It's your birthday.
Yep, it will be. Yep, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Day is your birthday this year, so
yep.
I'm going to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Did you get any presents, any cool gifts?
I did. I actually got a new piece of archery equipment, but it was a part that I had to buy myself. At this age, you buy your own birthday gifts. I'm just the way it's going to be. I don't mind.
Any special birthday plans other than the traditional Thanksgiving
dinner? Not really. That's those things. Look, I think I've only had a total actual birthday parties in my life, 4 or 5.
I'm not talking about a party, but I mean, are you guys going to eat at a special restaurant?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Really nothing. We don't really do anything for it. It's because everybody's too busy. I don't really get to have that you know, that extra time for, oh, it's your birthday. It's your but birthday
aren't you,
weekend.
Aren't you the guy that always gets up on Black Friday at like 5 a.m. to go shopping?
I can say legitimately I've never done that.
I've never had.
I wish they would stop it. Let everybody stay home, man. That stuff's going to be there the next day. Why don't you just have the Monday after Thanksgiving sale? Let's just do that. Let everybody have their weekends and be done with it.
Not me. I like trying to trample people.
Yeah. No. It's too much work for me. I'm not down with it. Yeah. I'll order it online. I'll go to the little stop. I like to go get it as much as we can, like the mom and pop shops here in town. If there's something that's handmade or something, I like to go, you know, get stuff like that.
I agree.
Well, folks, thank you so much for being part of this. Everybody, have a safe week. I hope everybody gets some time off with the family. Enjoy that time. Give somebody some hugs. Tell everybody exactly how you feel. As long as it's good. Don't go too crazy, folks. And we will see y'all right back here again next Monday with another episode of Expanded Perspectives.
Peace.
Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.